Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz. I would like to start by acknowledging the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, on which this podcast is recorded, as the traditional custodians of this land, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. And as this podcast is dedicated to the wisdom and knowledge of motherhood, I would like to acknowledge the mothers of this land, the elders, their wisdom, their knowing, and my own elders and teachers.
Welcome back, everyone. On the 22nd of July, 2014, I registered my very first website, wanting to start sharing my story, my research and insights into motherhood, which means it has now been 9 years of creating content and for most of that time, creating podcasts, both in this podcast and a previous incarnation, sharing stories of motherhood and matrescence from all over the globe. And so I think we often don't pause and celebrate enough in our current culture. And I also know that we have so much knowledge hidden in the archives of this podcast. And so in recognition of that, the team and I are going to be bringing you some micro matrescence moments over the next few weeks, highlights and insights from some of our episodes that you can listen to. And if you want to go deeper, pop into the show notes and see which episode to go back to and listen. Thank you for being here, perhaps for the last 9 years or just for the last few minutes. This is how we change the way we support mothers.
Dr. Rebecca Ray, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I feel like this conversation is way overdue after being Instagram buddies for a long period of time.
Exactly. I would love to explore with you what motherhood has been like. You came to motherhood differently than others. Wasn't something you always thought you would do. And now 2.5 years in, I'm really interested to explore how it's changed you, what it's taught you. So take us back to the beginning.
Then I found out that we were pregnant and I was pretty annoyed to begin with. I was like, damn it, I thought that I was finally going to be free of all this stuff happening to my body. But then I had a fairly traumatic physical experience of pregnancy, and that in and of itself was an entire journey. And then we welcomed Bennett, and I had absolutely no preparation for just how good it would be.
Wow.
I had done some work in therapy around, you know, my kind of concerns around whether the broken bits of me would affect my ability to parent. And so I went and did a whole heap of trauma work and did a whole lot of healing, which was the most valuable therapy I've ever done. And I still thought that parenting would just be something that we do, and we try to do it as well as we can. I never made the leap to the fact that there would be another human then in our lives that would bring so much joy. I'm sitting in the car right now because we're actually recording on a day when Bennett's not at daycare, and I'm hiding in the car so that our audio is good. And just as I was walking out the door to go and sit in the car, he sitting on Nissa's lap and made this pirate noise at me as I walked past. And just even that, like, I just cracked up laughing. This being, this bringer of light, I didn't realise what I was missing out on.
To then be in a place now of, I almost, I'm just so grateful that I got to do this, how those transitions happened, like how did you support yourself through? Because I'm sure there were times, especially in that terribly hard pregnancy, where you thought, I knew I shouldn't have done this, or maybe you didn't think that, but there were questions of, maybe this wasn't for me. Were there moments like that?
Yeah, only during the pregnancy, though.
Yes.
Not once he was born, surprisingly. I was actually, because obviously I'm a psychologist, so
yes.
There's lots of analysis that goes on. I was a bit concerned that the physical level of trauma that I experienced during the pregnancy might affect my capacity to bond, but it didn't. And I put that down to the fact that I had an obstetrician gynecologist who was just incredibly brilliant. She was exactly what I needed. She was who I needed in that 9 to 10 months, actually all the time before that when we were doing fertility treatment as well. And so because I felt held and protected and very much supported based on all my choices during the pregnancy, I think that's what helped me to meet Bennett and say, okay, let's do this together, little guy. Me being me, as we talk about the identity shift, a mother was an addition to my identity, not a replacement for my pre-existing identity. So I still was very much an author, a speaker, a person that consolidates psychological knowledge into accessible terms for women who want to live bravely and meaningfully. And so in the first year that he was born, I wrote 2 books.
As you
and
do.
I released a course online and did a whole series of things in addition to being a mother to a newborn and then a baby. And I guess, I mean, baby as in an older baby. Mm-hmm. But I guess during that time, what I have experienced is that my relationship with my body sits in the background, and it's something that I've had to spend a whole lot of time around working with radical self-compassion to be able to come back to a place where I can do the work and trust the process to come back to my strength, my flexibility, and feel my age again and not 80 years old, you know.
You know, in the study of matrescence and now what I teach, we talk about that there's a lot of different entry points into this transformation. For some, it's a real identity crisis around being able to work or being able to have an income, the independence, which was a big thing for me. Others, it's a health crisis. For others, it's a massive change in their relationship to their body and to their passion, to their sensuality. There's lots of different entry points into these beautiful questions that come from motherhood, which is, who am I now? How do I, as you said, have radical self-compassion? How do I understand who I am outside of what society says I should look like, be like, or do? And so I love it. It's these different entry points into this different, into this awakening. How do we start with that radical self-compassion? What are some of the steps that you've taken to start to heal this relationship with your body that is now different and will always be different from what it was pre-baby, but now is a beautiful new transformation of it?
The first thing that I did was I very much, I basically butchered the people, my following on social media. So I went and went through everyone that I was following, particularly on Instagram, and unfollowed a whole series of accounts if they had any kind, if they were posting material that had any kind of uncomfortable effect for me and my relationship with my body. So that was a really freeing thing to do. But that's also about what's happening externally. So I've been very careful around the exposure to information and content externally about and how that fits for me right now. Then you need to address what's happening internally. Perhaps that's the most important thing of all, really. But I do think external information can be not helpful. So I started there first, and then I and I also added some people to follow who were body positive and posted pictures of bodies that looked like mine now, so that I could be exposed to the normality and see other people's bodies and go back, but I feel like those curves are beautiful, you know, rather than have the media tell me what's beautiful. I allowed myself to look at pictures of other women's bodies and look at them and go, wow, like from where I'm sitting, I actually love, I love looking at those pictures. And I think that was the biggest transformation in terms of stepping into radical self-compassion, was no longer standing in front of the mirror and entertaining any kind of internal conversation that was negative around my body. Instead, I started with a neutral conversation, like this just is what it is right now, you know? And my body responded to an incredibly stressful period of time by doing what it needed to do to survive, and then having respect for the processes that our bodies go through when we're in survival mode and in threat response mode, to then come out the other side and go, if I was going to treat myself with compassion and care and nurturing, what would that look like? And what if it wasn't going to be hard? So that's the other thing that I've been using quite recently, is what if this doesn't have to be hard? What if it could simply be trusting the process and doing the work to self-nurture?
I love how you've said first it's a very neutral conversation, because often I remember years ago, when, you know, and I'm talking decades ago, when I really started exploring the self-help, self-development kind of genre of books and went down that whole path, it was very much about repeating those positive affirmations to yourself, and they are sometimes a step too far. You can't look in the body, you can't look in your mirror and tell yourself you are beautiful when 3 seconds ago you were saying the complete opposite. There has to be almost a stepladder towards that. So those neutral conversations are really important as that first step.
Yeah, and also I don't love the term self-love. That's why my book is called The Art of Self-Kindness and not The Art of Self-Love. Because in my experience, in all my clinical experience actually, you know, most clients I saw had some kind of issue with their self-worth. This is what human beings struggle with most. And if I was to sit them down and go, right, now I want you to stand in front of the mirror and say, I love myself, then most of them would rightly so want to slap me across the face, because it's just too much of a leap to be able to ask someone to enter that particular realm of believing, you know. And if you're not going to believe the things you say to yourself, then I think that sets up a whole series of problematic practices where people think that they should be able to say these things. And you know, it's like that whole whole kind of Instagram meme thing of just be happy, like, oh, it drives me insane, because human beings aren't wired like that. We can't just think positive.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.